you got your Bibles, turn to John chapter 11. John, Gospel of John, chapter 11. And I know we're going to read this and you're going to think, you know, this is a very familiar passage of Scripture. I've heard this story. I've read this account, but I'm hoping we can look at this a little bit differently this morning. John chapter 11, beginning in verse 41. Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid, Lazarus. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I know that thou hearest me always. But because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus saith unto them, Loose him and let him go. And many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did believed on him. Now, today I want us, let's look at this man called Lazarus. He was literally a walking, talking miracle. He had been raised from the dead by Jesus after he'd been dead for 4 days, by the way. After he'd been dead for 4 days. What a miracle. And I know most of you have read or heard this Bible story before. But as an aside, after he was raised, Lazarus had been going around and he'd been telling everybody that would listen about what happened to him. Can you imagine? What if that happened in this area in between Four Oaks and Smithville and Clayton? Here's this man walking around going, I'm telling the truth, I was dead 4 days. And this man, Jesus, raised me from the dead. He was telling so many people, and he got the leaders of that time so upset that not only did they want to kill Jesus, they wanted to kill Lazarus. That's in the Bible. They sought to kill Lazarus. But you know what? In God's providence, they weren't able to do so. You know why? You can't kill a miracle. You can't kill a miracle no matter how hard you try. But today I want to look at the actual miracle of Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead, because I believe there's more to this story than most of us realize. I think it demonstrates the true nature of Christ. It exemplifies the authority that Christ has over death. There's not a one of us in this room that hasn't been touched by death. Our families, our loved ones, our friends. But Jesus has authority over that. It's also a story about the manifestation of the power of Jesus to just literally reach down into a grave and raise up the dead. I also think it's a story about more than just Lazarus coming forth. I think it also demonstrates the power that Jesus has to bring all of us out of the depths of the bondage of sin. We didn't read the entire chapter outlining this occurrence, but let's look at some of the truths found in this event. And the first thing we learn is about the love of Christ. The love of Christ. In verses 3 through 5 of this chapter, Lazarus, his sisters, Mary and Martha, they sent for Jesus because their brother was sick. They sent for Jesus because in time past he had stayed with them in their home. He had enjoyed their fellowship on previous occasions. They had come to love Christ. They had a relationship with him. And they realized his love for them because he stayed with them in their home. Jesus had stayed with them on several occasions, and I think he came into their house by invitation. I think they invited him to come in. Have you ever had people to do that? People to just say, look, when you're in the area, come stay with Jeff and Terry. You're getting ready to go to Florida. I don't like it. But they got a place down in Florida, and he's told me, he said, listen, he said, when you come down, you got a place to stay. And you know what? I know they mean that. I know they mean that. I mean, if I went down and showed up at their door and said, I need a place to crash, come on in. They would not only give me that place, they would feed me, they would treat me good, because we're friends. We love each other. That was pretty much what was going on here. Folks, we need to understand that those of us that share a fellowship with Christ, we know the reach of His love, don't we? We know how far His love can go, the depth and the breadth of His love for every one of us. This was a person that Jesus loved that was sick and he was dying. He was over in Bethany. Jesus had passed through Bethany many times, but Mary and Martha and Lazarus were his friends who were there. They knew him as a friend that stuck closer to them than a brother, not just as some stranger passing through. And so when their brother became sick, they sent unto him, they said, Lord, behold, him that thou lovest is sick. We're talking about Lazarus. Don't you find it unusual they didn't say, hey, our brother is sick. Hey, Jesus, Lazarus is sick. They said, Jesus, this one you love is sick. That's a personal message, isn't it? That is right to the heart. Anybody that invites Jesus into their heart and their life will come to know His love. I want you to know today that if you don't have Christ in your heart, Jesus still loves you. Jesus loves you, whether you're here, whether you're listening in from wherever you might be. Romans 5:8 said, but God commendeth His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Even while we had our back turned to Him, even while we were rebelling against Him, He still loved us enough to die for us. So they send Jesus this message. And John writes, now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. And when He heard therefore that he was sick, He abode 2 days still in the same place where He was. Now, doesn't that sound strange to you? I didn't know Jeff was going to be here this morning. But he knows this about me, and I know this about him. I don't care whether he's here in North Carolina or if he's in Florida. If he were to call me and say, hey, dude, I need you, I'm going to knock a wall down to get to him. And he will for me. He will for me. I've called him and I've said, look, I need to talk to you. I need to lean on you. He's called me and said, hey, I need to talk to you. I need to lean on you. That's what friends do. Jesus loved this man, but it said that when he heard that he was sick, he hung around 2 more days. Does that not sound strange to anyone else? He didn't rush back to Bethany to check on him or heal him. He delayed his trip to Bethany for 2 more days. How could he have loved them so much, yet wait to respond to their request? I think if you read the rest of the story, the Paul Harvey, you find out that he had something big in mind. Jesus had something big in mind for Lazarus, something that would reveal Jesus' lordship and manifest his authority and power, but allow Lazarus to be a part of that. I really believe it was because he loved Lazarus so much that he stayed 2 more days. He purposely delayed his trip. He was about to show this family a deeper love than they had ever known before. They were going to have an opportunity to witness his power over death, hell, and the grave firsthand. What seemed like a tragedy at first would turn out to be a great privilege. Matter of fact, Jesus, when he heard it, he said, "This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of Man might be glorified thereby." Folks, we need to just take a little aside and realize when tough times come our way, ain't a one of us like it. But do you realize that sometimes those tough times come our way so that God can be glorified through it? And we can look back on that and say, you know what? I was in a ditch, but God got me out. Jesus was going to give this family the firsthand experience of his power to bring someone back to life, back from the depths of the grave. So we see his love. We also learn that we must die with Christ. When Jesus delayed his trip to Bethany for 2 days, he then decided to go. Bethany was not friendly to Jesus. There were a lot of people there that wanted to see him put to death. And so when he decided to go to Bethany, his disciples were going, "Oh, wait a minute, time out. People over there don't like you. They're going to try to kill you. Are you real sure you want to go there again?" Jesus had a mission. Jesus even used the analogy of we need to do the work while there's light. And Jesus told the disciples, "I'm going to do the work of him that sent me." He also tells his disciples that Lazarus is asleep, which he is. And his disciples said, "Well, if he's sleeping, then he's doing well." But Jesus clarified that. He said, "He's dead. He's dead. And I'm going to Bethany." Thomas spoke up. Thomas, isn't he one of our favorite disciples? We call him Doubting Thomas. But you know what? Thomas, I got to hand it to him. He kind of said what was on his mind. Thomas speaks up, and even though he's afraid, he knows what might be waiting for him. Thomas says, "Well, let us go with him that we can die with him." Thomas didn't realize it, I don't believe, when he said it, but truer words could never have been spoken. Thomas says, "Let us go that we can die with him." He was afraid of being stoned to death with him. But folks, if we are to follow Christ, we must die with him so that we can be raised with him. The Bible plainly tells us that every day we must pick up our cross and follow him. And follow him. Listen, I'm at an age now. You can laugh at me for being a Christian all you want. Laugh your head off. But I'm proud of being a Christian. I'm not ashamed of it. I'm not ashamed of it. I know in my heart that if I were to die tonight, I know where I'm going to wake up. I know where I'm going to open my eyes. I love my wife. I love my family. I love my church. I've got things that I want to do. But you know what? If this is my last day on earth, y'all just know, if y'all get wind tomorrow that I left this world today, you just know tomorrow where I am. We've got to die to ourselves to live with Christ. If you go places with Jesus and if you're involved in his works, if you experience his resurrection power, then you must die with Christ. at the altar of repentance. We also find from our account today that there's hope for the hopeless. Lazarus has been dead for 4 days. 4 days. Mary and Martha were mourning. Many people had come from nearby towns to mourn this man that they loved, that they knew. These were the same Jews that were coming from other towns that were looking for a Messiah that wouldn't recognize the very one that was in front of them as Jesus. But they were about to see something they hadn't seen before. They were about to see Lazarus raised from the dead. Martha hears that Jesus is coming and she runs out to meet him. Mary's so upset she didn't even come out. She stays in the house. All hope seems lost. All hope seems lost. Matter of fact, when Martha gets to him, she said, "Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died." She wasn't really complaining, but she was. She was kind of saying, "If you'd have just been here." Translated, "It's your fault. It's your fault. My brother's dead. If you'd have just been here, he'd be alive right now." But she also knows in her heart that it's way too late for Jesus to do anything. They felt it was too late. Jesus didn't get there in time. So Jesus, by this time, had done everything he could do for Lazarus while here on earth. Wrong. Wrong. Let me put that in context of what I'm trying to get across in this segment of the message this morning. I know it's hokey. I know it's almost laughable. But I've heard so many people mention this. When I do our little one calls twice a week, we end with the little tagline, you know, "Hope that does you well." Just because we're in hope. Well, I know it's corny, but you know what? It sticks with people. And if there's anything that this world needs right now, it's hope. It's hope. The economy's in the tank. The geopolitical situation is not good. Christians being persecuted in other countries, sickness running rampant. Morals just kind of going by the wayside. If you look at it that way, it is a pretty hopeless situation. But from a spiritual standpoint, with Jesus Christ, there is always hope. Some of you, you may have a brother or a sister or a child or somebody in your family that is lost in sin. You love dearly and you've prayed for their salvation, and all that seems to happen is they move a little deeper in that sin. Satan is whispering in your ear, "Just quit your praying. There's no use. They're bound and determined to go to hell, and you just need to let them go. Just quit wasting your time. There isn't any hope. Give it up." You might feel like it's over, but let me tell you something, church. It is never too late for God. Never too late for God. I have held the hands of young people as they've accepted Christ. I've also held the hands of senior citizens in hospital beds, and they've accepted Christ. By the way, the thief on the cross, just minutes from death, accepted Christ, and Jesus said, "You're going to be in paradise with me today." It is never too late. Don't you give up. Don't you give up. You keep praying. You keep praying. That passage makes me think of a Southern gospel song by Karen Peck in New River called 4 Days Late. Miss Janet Jones at Powhatan used to love that song. And the last verse and chorus goes, "You may be fighting a battle of fear. You've cried to the Lord, I need you now, but he has not appeared. Friend, don't be discouraged, because he's still the same. He'll soon be here. He'll roll back the stone, and he'll call out your name. When he's 4 days late, and all hope is gone, Lord, we don't understand why you've waited so long. But his way is God's way, not yours or mine. And isn't it great, when he's 4 days late, he's still on time." There's a lot of truth to that. There's a lot of truth to that. They walked. I want you to picture this in your scene. Here they are. They're walking to the tomb. They don't understand why. Maybe Jesus is just going to stand there and pay his respects. But in the mind of everyone out there, except for Jesus, everything's over. Lazarus is dead and buried. Jesus saw the crowd weeping and mourning. The Bible says he was grieved. It says Jesus wept. I think he was grieved for them failing to see the power that he possessed, the authority over death that he possessed. I do believe Jesus was touched by the tears of Mary and Martha. He's touched by our tears and our trials as well. Matter of fact, Hebrews says, "For we have not a high priest which can't be touched with the feelings of our infirmities." My Mama Spence, one of her favorite songs, she would look at me before she died, when I was around her and she was a piano was close by. She'd say, "Son, play 'Tears Are a Language God Understands.'" She liked that. Folks, Jesus understands our hearts. All we have to do is pray to him, because prayer moves God and God moves man. When the other people saw Jesus crying, they commented how he must have loved him. And then I want you to notice in verse 37 of this chapter, I want you to notice what some people said. And some of them said, "Could not this man, which opened the eyes of the blind, have caused that even this man should not have died?" Listen to what they were saying. "We have heard that this man has opened the eyes of the blind. But if he did, then could he not have saved this loved one from death?" They just didn't know. They had lost their hopelessness, or they were hopeless. The other thing that we learn from this passage is that we must get rid of doubt. How many of you know that Jesus can do all things? Raise your hand. Do you ever doubt? Raise your hand. Yeah. Got a few honest. I confess to you, I doubt. I don't mean to. I think my doubt comes from he's saying, "I will, but you're going to need to wait a minute." And what I want is, "Well, I know you can, but do it now. Do it now." With all of my doubt, he's never failed me. He's never failed me. And yet, I still doubt. And I wish I could stand here and tell you, I've learned my lesson. I ain't ever going to doubt again. But that would be a lie. Because I'm human. In this account, Jesus looks at the people and said, take away the stone. Wouldn't you have loved to have been there and watched those guys standing around that were going to move that stone going, what did he just say? He wants us to take away the stone? Why? He stinks. He can't even go in there. He won't be able to stand it. And what's the purpose? What's the purpose? You see, I believe in our spiritual life, that stone represents any obstacle that stands between us and our faith. That stone represents a hindrance. Martha, his own sister, that loved her brother and wanted to see him alive. Even she looked at him and she said, Lord, he's been dead 4 days. He stinks by now. What are you doing? Martha's struggling with her faith. Again, Martha knows who he is. Martha believes him to be the Messiah. She knows he can do all things. But she is doubting that he can do this. She's doubting that we can do this. So in verse 41, they take away that stone. And when they did, Jesus went into action. Have you ever noticed in the scripture that we read, it appears that Jesus had already prayed to his Father God about this. This didn't just happen when he got up there. John 11, 41 and 42 says, then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I know that thou hearest me always. But because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And the last truth we learn from this is that when Jesus says it's enough, it's enough. It's enough. Have you ever experienced that? Lord, how long is this trial going to last? How long is this hardship going to last? When God says it's enough, it's enough. Jesus cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. Lazarus had been dead long enough. Lazarus had gone through this long enough. His family had been sad long enough. Enough was enough. You see, I believe as we pray for salvation of our loved ones, our friends, our family that are living in sin, I believe Jesus can speak a word just like that to them and bring them out of darkness just like that. It may be your prayer, your faith, that breaks that grip of sin on their life. Don't give up. Don't give up. Believe. Believe. Because when God says it's enough, it's enough. If you've got a loved one who is sick or in sin, don't give up. Pray and believe. I like verse 44. Where it says, and he that was dead came forth bound, hand and foot with grave clothes. His face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus saith unto them, loose him and let him go. Did you notice the first part of that verse? It said, him that was dead. Was dead. Jesus spoke, and Lazarus came forth. You see, Jesus can speak to anyone whose life is bound up with sin, who has sickness, who has any ailment. And Jesus can say the same thing to that situation as he said to the men here around Lazarus, loose him and let him go. Our scripture this morning says that many people believed on Jesus because of what they saw that day. Because of what they saw that day. So here's our question this morning. What do you believe? What do you believe? There may be somebody here today or listening in, and you're just as spiritually dead as Lazarus was physically dead. You've been dead, spiritually dead, for a long time. So long that many of the people that are around you have just given up, thinking, oh, they're never going to make it. They're bound for hell and there ain't no turning around. Nobody can pray enough for them. They got their mind made up. They don't think you'll ever be raised up out of that spiritual death that you're in. But I'm here to tell you this morning, and I believe this with all my heart, Jesus is shouting your name this morning. Whether you're here, whether you're looking in from wherever you are, Jesus is shouting your name this morning to come forth. Come out of that grave of sin that you're in. Walk out. Walk out. One big difference, however. Lazarus was physically dead. He could not respond to Jesus. Jesus had that plan that Lazarus was going to come forth for his glory. But as he's calling your name this morning, you are alive and you are well and you have to answer. You have to respond. Can you hear Jesus calling your name this morning? Are you listening? When my daddy used to call me to come in at night, or my mama from the porch when it was about dark, and I wanted to play some more, I just kept playing. I pretended like I couldn't hear them. They knew I heard them. Jesus knows you hear him too. What are you going to keep doing? Are you going to keep playing in sin? Or are you going to obey and respond? It's up to every one of us. And by the way, when Jesus stood at that tomb and he wept, I believe this morning that there are so many people, not just with our group, and the ones that are listening remote, but churches all across the land, there's many hearts that are going to be touched by the Holy Spirit this morning. There are going to be many names that Jesus calls and says, come to me this morning. Come up out of that grave of sin. Come to me and let me make you alive. And they're going to pretend that they don't hear it. And I believe for every one of those cases, I believe Jesus weeps. Because another opportunity has passed them by. Let me ask you this morning, if you feel the Holy Spirit dealing in your life, won't you come this morning? This could be the greatest day of your life if you'll just respond to his call. If you do, he will do the very same thing to the devil this morning that he did with the people that were around this event. And Jesus will look at that devil and he'll say, loose him and let him go. One last thing. You remember when Jesus was getting ready to go into, make his entry into Jerusalem right before he was crucified? He told his disciples to go over and find a colt and a donkey and bring them to him. And he said, if anybody asks you why you're loosing them, said, you tell them that the master has need of them. The Master has need of you this morning. Will you respond? Will you hear it? Are you listening? Would you bow with me in prayer? Father, as we have this time of commitment, Father, I pray that you would help us to respond. Father, my heart tells me that your Holy Spirit has touched people this morning. And I pray, Father, that we're listening as you call to us today. Father, just as you shouted to Lazarus to come forth, Father, you're calling many this morning to come to you. Come out of that grave of sin. I pray, Father, in these next few moments, you give them the courage to step out, walk toward you, and leave the devil behind. This time is yours, Father, and we look forward to what you're about to do. And we ask it in Jesus' precious and holy name, the one that has power over death, hell, and the grave. Amen.